Today's message is Man to Man, The Hands of a Man by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Excuse me. Or doubt in their minds, lifting up holy hands. And when I thought about this script today, the fact that it says, Paul says specifically, talking about men, you know, there's some scriptures that we realize is it says men, but it's really talking about mankind in general. But this scripture we know is specifically talking about men, because verse 80 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lift your holy hands without wrath and without doubt. Verse 9, he says, in like manner also the women. So we know verse 8, he's specifically talking about men. Then in verse 9, he specifically goes around to talk about men, about women. But he says that men lift up holy hands. When I thought about this scripture, I thought about the hands of a man. The hands of a man, that men lift up holy hands. And I really specifically thought about the hands of a man with respect to what we do versus what women do, or what we should be doing versus what women should be doing. Now, for a lot of us, this is a review tonight, and it's all right for it to be reviewed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So sometimes the more we hear things, the more that the light bulb turns on, or hopefully it gets brighter and brighter. Sometimes it just turns on, sometimes it just gets brighter. Things become clearer. So some of these things is going to be reviewed, but some of us, it may be first time you're hearing these things, or hearing these things in this context, and particularly from a biblical base, because, you know, depending on what type of family you came up in, depending on whether you had a father in the home or not, or whether you had a relationship with a father or a good man as a role model, we really can get roles distorted. A lot of people don't realize that. I discovered over the years that there's a tendency, and again, I was raised by a single mother. I was raised by a single mother, because some of you heard me tell my story. My father, they tell me he was a brilliant man, and the reason why I got so frustrated with my father, because he always hear how brilliant he was. And all my uncles and brothers, and everybody talking about, he was basically the leader of all of them. He helped them. He's one who brought them all up north and got my uncle started with jobs up north after they left West Virginia. And but he got involved with drugs, and so as a result of sent his life on a downward spiral. And so I don't recall my mother and father ever living in my home. I don't recall that. My earliest memories are probably about 3 or 4. I remember him coming to get me, and I used to spend time with him. But he always came to the house. And so my mother's thing was, she said, I love your father. She always said that. She said, I love your father. I just can't live with your father, because I can't deal with that, with those drugs. Or they used to say, back when I was a little boy, they used to say, he's on that stuff. And you don't remember that? That stuff. Yeah, I can't deal with that stuff. And so as a result of that, I grew up with primarily mother in the home. And then, when I was about 9 years old, my mother had a boyfriend. My boy, he moved in, and my mother shacked for most of her life. And my mother died when I was like 20 in junior in high school. So I was raised with this other man in the house who never tried to be a father to me. But I started realizing after I got married, and after I started seeing things, get exposed to things from the word, that based upon what you see, you can think that if you're, for example, if there's no man in the house, you think all the things that a woman does is stuff a woman's supposed to do. You follow what I'm saying? You know, for a woman to have to carry everything, well, that's something you can think that's what women do. No, that's what a woman, in the case of a man not being there, that's what she got to do. And just because that's what she had to do don't mean that's what she was supposed to do. Are you following me? And if you don't get the roles right, and that was supposed, you would start putting undue pressure on the woman that God gives you, because you expect her to be like your mama. Well, my mama did this, and my mama did that, and my mama did this. Well, just because your mama did all that don't mean she was supposed to do that. Okay, she was doing what she had to do, and there was a tail end of it. This morning on CBS News, they're talking about relationships and how relationships affect people's lives and health and all those kind of things. But statistically, regarding women, they're starting to believe now that a lot of the diseases that women have, you know, things, you know, in terms of the internal female problems and some of the cancers and even women having heart attacks and all this kind of thing. They're starting to find a correlation between that and the pressure that women are under. Okay? And here's another thing. Now, is that society, in many cases, in our women's attempt to be equals, they're taking on stuff that I believe from us, from a biblical standpoint, and a man's, a man of God and a Christian standpoint, they're taking on stuff that they were never supposed to be taking on. Okay? So you got women who get offended now that we call it a manhole out there. They want it to be a person hole. Well, I don't want to go down none of those holes anyway. Okay? I mean, I don't know, no problem for men who want to go down in the hole and fix the sewers and all that. That's your calling. But why a woman would even want to fight to be able to do that, I don't know. Y'all follow me. So you got women doing all kinds of things. I don't believe that God called women to do. But if a man is not present, the woman got to do what a woman got to do. Y'all know the old song, I can bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan and never ever let you forget you're a man because I'm a woman. Okay. Well, why she got to bring home the bacon and cooking? Okay. A lot of this is things that they shouldn't, you know, I can't show it to y'all because it's church and I couldn't beep it out. But there's something on Facebook. If you ain't careful, you can get, I'm starting to watch these different videos and I find them funny. Okay. You can get addicted to these videos now, you know, but this guy, and he's going off too. He's just dropping the F bomb. He dropping the F bomb. He going off. It's probably his baby mama asking him for money or something. And he going off. He said, this blankety blank. What you mean you are working, taking care of baby? That ain't no job. That's your responsibility. He's just going off. You know, my mama did this and my mama did taking care of no child. That ain't no job. I just, man, got this all screwed. You follow me? You know, I had to learn stuff like when you have a wife who's home with the children, okay, you don't say she ain't working. You stay home with the kids. Now, I'm telling you. There were times kids were crying, I was crying. Y'all be quiet. Shut up! Well, then where mama go? I don't know when she go home. I said, when she come? You know, back then we couldn't text. When you coming home? Everything all right? Yeah, everything all right, but when you coming home? No, I'd rather go hunting any day. You know, than have to. So we have to learn. I do believe that there are roles. And in today's society, everything's getting messed together and people fighting, you know, women fighting to do everything that we do. But I'm telling y'all from a biblical standpoint, they shouldn't have to try to do everything that we do. Doesn't mean that they're not able. See, it's not an issue of capacity. It's an issue of should you have to do that. All right. So we talk about the hands of a man. So what should men be doing with our hands? Number one is the most obvious one. We should be producing. Another way to say produce is providing. Producing and or providing. That's what men do. Everybody say, that's what men do. Okay? I taught all of my kids. I taught all of my boys. I taught a young man. I'm not sure if he's here tonight. I was talking to a young man yesterday. A young man, you know, serious about his walk with God. 19-year-old young man I was talking to on yesterday, and you know, he was asking me, should he be thinking about getting married? I said, well, I said, just make sure if you're of age where you could get married. I said, but what you main thing you should be doing right now is positioning yourself to be a husband. I said, because I've seen people who get married, but they hadn't positioned themselves yet to be a husband. Amen. And I've seen, and when I say position yourself, I'm talking like proven. I don't mean like get a job. I mean, like, keep a job. Y'all know there's a difference.
Y'all, you know, there's a difference between getting a job and keeping a job. And so until you prove you can keep a job, you ain't ready to be married yet. I told somebody that years ago. They didn't believe me. They didn't take it for granted. I said, you know, he was of age, well of age. Well of age. When I say well of age, he was probably in the late 30s. He was well within the age to be married. But I said, you're not ready to be married. I said, based upon job history. You haven't proven you can keep a job. I said, if you can't keep a job, you're not ready to be you're not ready to bring anybody else into your mess. Oh, I'm sorry, let me try to be nice, because you're not ready to bring anyone else into your life. Your messy life. Okay? Because if you're always having crisis because you don't have a job, now you're creating crisis for a woman. Now you're potentially going to create crisis for children. So we should be producing with our hand, providing with our hand. Deuteronomy 28 and 12. It looked like I copied the Amplified, but it says, the Lord shall open to you his good treasury, the heavens to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You have a right as men to expect God to bless the work of your hands. That means when you put your hands to work, expect God to bless it and increase it. Amen. Because that's one of the promises of God, that he will bless the work of the hands. Everybody say, God will bless the work of my hands. Which means your hands got to be doing what? Got to be doing some work. You got to give God something to bless. You'd be surprised how many people just stand around alone and tell him, bless me, bless me, bless me. Lord, say, I'll bless the work of your hand. Got to give God something to bless. Got to give God something to increase. Right? 1 Thessalonians 2 and 9. Paul, he's writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he says, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 9, he says, for you remember, brethren, our labor or work and our travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. We would not be, when he says we work so we would not be chargeable, that is the duty of every man. To work, when it says not be chargeable, let me give you that from the New Living Translation. It says, we worked among you. It said, don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Y'all understand that? So it says men should work so we shouldn't be a burden. Now watch this. God designed men to bear burdens and to carry burdens. Amen. But God did not design us to be a burden. We're not supposed to be a burden. And brothers, let me tell you something. Some of us, we got some good women. We have some industrious women. We have some women who go get it and all that. And that's wonderful. And take my word for it. You don't have to take my word for it. I've done enough marriage counseling. I've seen it enough to know that they're good helpers when they got the help. But when they got to do it, now it's pressure. See, it's the same thing. They're doing the same thing. One is being a help. That's the motive behind it. I want to be a help. But now when they got to do it, because if they don't do it, everything will fall apart. That's pressure. You understand? That's mental pressure. And men, y'all know it's hard enough for us. And when the Bible says we're supposed to entreat women as the weaker vessel. In other words, don't try to put all the load on them. Or if they're helping you, an example, y'all, I've used this many example many times, particularly in this setting, talking about men to men. I say if I had nobody else but my daughter to help me, or a young boy to help me, and I got to lift up, carry up a chair up the stairs, okay, and I have nobody else to help me, but they help me, where should I be on the stairs versus where the other person is? I should be in the bottom, right? Carrying the bulk of the weight. And then they can kind of support it as I go. But the bulk of the weight's supposed to be on me. Brother, you got to try to position yourself that the bulk of the weight is on you. The saddest words, with respect to being a provider, the saddest words I ever heard, it was in our church, when a woman was under pressure because the husband was not producing, could not produce. It was a big discrepancy. They were sitting down, And the man said to me, or the woman said to me, he was sitting right there. She said, they have three children. She looked at him. She said, I feel like you're my fourth child. Ooh, that hurt. That still hurt me today. She didn't even say it to me. I just was in the room when she said it. I wanted to crawl up under the couch. Who wants to feel like you, your wife's second, third, fourth, fifth child? However, you're the additional child. Because you're like, I got to feed them. I got to take care of them. I got to make sure they eat. And you now I'm a fourth child. Why? Because he hadn't positioned himself that he was carrying the bulk of the weight in terms of provision. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. If any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He said, if you don't take care of your own, especially your own house, the Bible said, what the Bible really saying here? He said, stop calling yourself a Christian. Don't even tell nobody. That's really what it's saying. So you have denied the faith. As we used to say in old Pentecostal church, he ain't saved. You should look for him. He ain't saved. You see somebody, a man who ain't providing, okay, being a freeloader, he ain't saved. Okay? Because men ain't supposed to be freeloading. Amen, y'all. Amen. Men are contributors, not freeloaders. Now, again, depending on what you've seen, that may shock you. Right? So, number one, we're supposed to be with these hands. We're supposed to be producing and providing. Secondly, men are planters. Another word for planting in this case is because I'm using all P's here, okay? Men plant. Men plant. To plant is to take something that you have to start something new. Take something you have to now start something new. Whether that's planting financially, whether that's planting a business, whether that's planting a family, and I want to talk a little bit kind of about all of those in that context, okay? So the plant is to take something that you, to start something new, okay? Pastors like me, we traditionally call them, people like me, pastors like me, founding pastors, okay? The more church term that they use now is a church planter. So I planted this church here in Columbia, South Carolina. I planted a church in Orangeburg. I planted a church in Florence. They're known as a church planter. Putting something there that wasn't there before. Starting something new. That's what men do. Many of you, you're entrepreneurs. An entrepreneur is a planter. You're starting something that didn't exist before. That's something that men do. And as men, let's talk about this from a family perspective. You plant families. Let me say this again. As men, you plant families, not just make babies. It's different between planting a family and making a baby. Oh, this is so good. It's coming to me now as I'm teaching this here. It's different between planting a field and growing some weeds. A weed can grow accidentally. Okay? Pastor Trey and I were over one of my houses that I'm still trying to sell, and we were out there in the yard, and I know that area was cleared off some years ago. And I said, look at those weeds growing over there. First I thought it was just something that had fallen down from the tree. I said, just move those over. We went over there. It's a whole other bush that started. But when I looked at it, it looked just like the tree. So apparently it was some seeds or whatever over time from that tree that started, and now watch it, it's reproduced, but it wasn't intentional, and there's no particular care given to it. We don't just make babies, we plant families. As men, God called us to plant families. Everybody say plant families. Okay, plant family. In Genesis 12, when God calls Abraham, he says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country, from your kindred, from your father's house. All right? Unto a land that I'm going to show you. Leave here, go someplace new. He says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'm going to start a new family from you. I'm going to make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and these shall all families of the earth be blessed. He said, I'm going to start something new with you. I'm going to start, I want you to leave where you are, go to where I'm telling you, and I'm going to start raise up a new family from you that's going, God really called it a nation. And so he left. I consider it a privilege to go to a homegoing of one of our, William Starks, his wife, his father-in-law passed away, and I know of the family for his wife, and I don't really know him, but you know, when you go to people's home going, you find out about the family, okay? And so I always knew that this is one of these successful families in our community, okay? But I started hearing about started with the father and how he was he went to C.A. Johnson. Biography or obituary didn't particularly talk about him being specifically college educated, anything like that. But he went into the military. He learned how to cook. He came out and became a chef. He was one of the first African American chefs of the old Sheraton, another hotel that apparently he was 85 years old. So another hotel that years ago I hadn't heard of, the Coldstream Country Club, and I live up in that area. And people used to tell me years ago that was the place over here, Coldstream, you know. And then seeing his children, you know, and how all of them doing well and successful. And then his granddaughter, some of y'all remember the family, y'all remember Kimberly Aiken. His granddaughter ended up being Miss America, right? Miss America. Okay. And then I'm looking now his daughter and their children, so that would be in another set of grandchildren. They're in our church, okay? One of the daughters just graduated from college. Another young man, he's doing well. And so I looked at this and I said, and when I saw that, I said the way people talking about, and the pastor brought Abraham, talking about Abraham. He said, talking about what this man has done, how he was a blessed man because look at his family. Look at his family. You know, the older you get, brothers, you're going to realize with all the stuff you get, that can't be your legacy. Nobody's going to be at your funeral talking about what kind of car you used to drive. I'm telling you. Nobody's going to be there saying, man, he used to drive a nice car, man. I'm telling you. No. But they will talk about your children. They'll talk about your family. They'll talk about legacy. They'll talk about how you affected other people's lives. God wants us to plant families. Not make babies. Not just have children. But plant families. Okay? Psalms 107, verse 41 says this. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction. That was me. Boy from the projects in Jersey City, New Jersey. I'm the one that I believe God has taken me from the poor and set me on high for my affliction. Praise God. He said it, yes, said he the poor, that's Psalm 107:41. Said he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. God said, I'll take one person, raise that person up, start a whole new family.
Men are supposed to be leaders of their families and communities. Dr. Herbert Bailey encourages men to take their rightful place in their homes and become the men that God called you to be. Order this CD for your love gift of $7 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Man to Man, the hands of a man. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.